Hey.
Hey.
What's up, y'all?
Happy whatever day you're listening.
Happy Monday.
Or Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Thursday.
Hey, yeah, it's one of those. It was one of them days. It's one of them days.
Wow.
Yeah, there it is.
Wow. We didn't even plan that.
No, we didn't.
Look
no,
at
we
us didn't. In sync.
Got a trivia question for you today.
Okay.
How many Chicago landmarks are there in the whole city?
Oh.
How many Chicago landmarks are there in the whole entire city?
That's a tough one.
Since we're talking about buildings this week. yeah, this y'all should have a roundabout answer.
Okay.
Based off of all the knowledge y'all been listening to since y'all loyal subscribers to the podcast.
Subscribers.
But yeah, how many Chicago landmarks are there in the whole city? Let's get it going. Happy Monday, y'all.
It's Sarah.
And it's Dario.
And we traveled through all of Chicago's 77 community areas. We shared some great stories and took you to our favorite restaurants.
But you know what? There's more Chicago history and food to discover.
So join us as we connect you to the greatest city in the world.
You know why? Because this is 77 Flavors of Chicago. Yo.
Yo.
Man, did y'all have enough time to think of the answer? One more time for y'all. How many Chicago landmarks total are there in the city?
That's a tough one. Should I assume that every National Registry of Historic Places is also a landmark?
I think that'd be a safe assumption.
All right, so there's at least 300 some.
Okay.
So I'm going to say 417.
Ooh.
Is that close?
You in the ballpark. You are really in the ballpark. Over, but you in the ballpark.
Let me guess again.
Okay. I'll give you one more time.
Hold 393.
Let me do this.
Damn. Okay, you just want to do
my
that.
My idea. I haven't used that in a while.
Wow.
You said 393?
Mm-hmm. Damn. You did not need to click all these buttons back to this button.
I did not have to do that. if you want to know how many Chicago landmarks there are 382.
Damn, I was close.
As of June 21st, 2023.
Wow.
Yeah, this year. Mr. Johnson. Brandon Johnson. Yeah,
Mr.
buddy.
Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, Mr. Johnson. That's a strong name. Mr. Johnson. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sounds like a headmaster.
You sure do.
Actually, I did have a headmaster with the last name Johnson, but it was a lady.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's wild. Where was that at?
At the boarding school that I went to.
Dang. That's crazy. That was a while ago, huh?
For not as long as you've been in high school.
This is about
school.
You. See, I knew you was going to try to be slick about this shit.
Not as long as you've been out of high school, sir.
Anyway.
Today, someone asked me, they're like, how old is Dario? I was like, 39. They're like, 39! Well, it was a compliment because they thought you were 27.
Yeah, damn.
I was like 27.
They thought I was 27.
I was like 34, I believe. 32, I believe. 27.
27.
You know how childish 27-year-old men
right,
are?
Right, yeah, right. You know
childish.
How, what they trying to say about me? I mean.
That you look young.
Black don't crack. But
it don't. Like, sure don't.
Black might fold after, you know, certain. I mean, because like you got your boy. 27? What part of me look 27?
Like your face and your body.
Okay, keep stroking ego.
No, relax.
What else?
Relax.
No, what else?
No, that's enough. That's enough.
We'll talk to me more.
You look like you're 45.
Wow. End
it there.
Wow.
Stop right there.
Damn.
No, you look good.
Hater quick.
No, you look good.
I know. No, not just that.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's confidence. That's confidence. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Of course.
I walk in confidence, baby.
Yeah,
that's
you
how
should.
You say it.
Baby.
Y'all, this, well, let me answer your question. What was the best part of your week? Ooh, I love that question. Jay Shetty, how at your boy, man.
That's a really good
question. That's a great question. What was the best part of your week?
I'm trying to think, what did we do this week?
You know, the best part of my week.
What was the best part of your week? I can't really share the best part of my week, if you know what I mean.
hey. But you get all the buttons.
Stop it.
You get okay, hold on. that indeed was the best part.
Best part of my week.
yeah.
Oh, honestly, so we had the opportunity to record with CBS this week.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And then we also had the opportunity to sit down on a have a conversation with Tanika
Johnson
at the Architecture Center. Yeah. Both of those were dope.
Yeah, that, honestly, that's what I was gonna say. Best part of the week. I mean, anytime
we just had such a good conversation.
Yes,
and the Folded Map project is a really cool project that we got. I mean, we've talked about it on the podcast before, but this time we talked with Tanika.
Yeah, and, to our face.
Yeah. And it was a really good conversation. She has a ton of experience and knowledge, and it was just really dope to see. And if you haven't checked it out, check out the Folded Map Project.
Yeah.
Which you can actually participate in conjunction with the Open House Chicago.
Yes, you can. That's what today's episode is about, if you couldn't read.
What was the best part of your week?
Us being on TV.
Oh, nice, yeah. we're not on TV yet.
I mean, we're not on TV yet. It's going to come.
It'll come out. That's like what she said. It'll come.
Yeah, for real. Eventually. No, but see, we only need one more TV station to check off all the TV stations.
Do we need?
ABC. We even been on WCIU. Yeah. No, don't laugh.
Isn't that radio?
No.
Oh.
That's TV.
Which one is
on
that?
On the block.
Oh.
Remember?
Yes.
All right. What was that? No, that wasn't on the block. That was a Chicago. What was that?
Oops.
Man, I complain.
We have not. Yeah. We've been on the block podcast,
but that's still the same.
But
TV
not
show.
On the TV.
Yeah, right. We know y'all.
I'm just playing.
Okay.
They'd be liking all our shit though.
No pressure.
You'd be liking all our shit, but not putting us on your show. That's fine. It is what it is. It's fine.
No pressure. But that was fun. We always have some dope ass weeks.
Yeah.
And this week leads up to
Open House Chicago.
And this is our third year.
This is our third year. This is the first time that this episode is sponsored by the Architecture Center.
Hey, so, come on. Come on now. Y'all, you want that? You want that here? Yeah. We got that. Yeah.
Thank you. Guys, it takes a lot of work to
get these partnerships.
To get these partnerships. And we love the Architecture Center. We love everyone that we've worked with there genuinely.
Yes.
And we love what they do, and we love the fact that they like going, you know, they want people to go into these community areas and these neighborhoods and explore.
Yeah.
Obviously there's always room for growth. No one is 100% of the time. So,
we met the president of the Chicago Architecture Center. CEO, yes, of the Architecture Center, Eleanor. So it was very dope to meet her. She had a lot of nice things to say, and we hope to continue that partnership. Shout out to our girl, Cairo Dye.
Yeah, for real.
Over there also.
She's the best.
She is the best.
But yeah.
There's a bunch of other people over there too. So.
Yeah. But yes. So like we are actually passionate about the open house. So that's why we wanted to do an episode on it as well.
Yeah. And y'all probably like, what history
are you going to talk about?
Yeah, what can you talk about? We have a conversation we had with Angela Esposito. You'll hear that in a moment. Yeah. But I have some facts about Chicago buildings, because that's what this is all about.
Right.
Yeah. And this didn't even take me long. Because your boy is, I'll be on it. I know what to search.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? I know how to get my facts right.
Yeah. Before you start, do you know the trend where... where girlfriends or like wives will say what their Ken's job is. I know you haven't seen the Barbie movie,
but I aged myself.
But remember when I showed you the video where Ken goes, my job is not lifeguard.
Yeah.
And my job isn't, it's just beach. So girls and like girlfriends, wives, whatever, they've been talking about what their Ken's job is. And it's like, Ken's job is office. Ken's job is phone. Ken's job is just Chicago.
That's my job.
Yeah.
That's my job.
It's historian is a common misconception, but it's just Chicago.
Just Chicago. That's my job.
Yeah.
I got some dope things to talk about.
Okay.
We're going to talk about since we're talking about Chicago and open house and buildings, we'll talk about landmarks. And that's why I laid off with the trivia question today.
Yeah.
382 landmarks in Chicago. But did you know that this whole thing, how landmarks started in 1968. That's when the Commission of Chicago Landmarks was created. That recent.
Wow.
And here's crazy. So it started out as an ordinance. It didn't even start out as like a group. It's nine people.
If I'm being honest, I don't know what an ordinance is.
like law, like
I know what a, yeah, I know yeah, what yeah, it is, yeah. but I don't know what the difference rules between like laws that. And ordinance and
not really either. But it didn't start out. It didn't start out as like a group. You know what I'm saying? Like it was 9 people that did this, so that's interesting. But however, even before that, to get to that point was a little bit of a journey. So okay. 1957 is when they actually said, "Hey, let's start trying to preserve some of these buildings here in Chicago.
Yeah.
We got some pretty ain't dope shit here. Let's try to save it." And they started out with 39 honorary buildings
okay.
in 1957. Mm. 1968 is when that ordinance was put into place to protect 12 inaugural landmarks.
Are they still landmarks today?
They are. They
that's,
are landmarks.
That's so interesting because I say like, oh, that's so recent, but literally that's what, like 100 yesteryear. Years since since Chicago's like, you know what I mean? Like
my daddy was born in 60 and 1957 is when they said, hey, proposed it in 68. He, my dad was 8 years old when they started landmarks.
I wonder how old a building has to be for it to be considered a landmark. Like, what I mean is like, I guess that's not.
Well, it's a voting process and I didn't write all that stuff down. If you all want to know that there's a like a several step process to become a landmark.
Yeah.
Age doesn't necessarily have anything to do with it. Mm. It's more so about neighborhood relevance and how it affected people and how it affected time and like what goes on in Chicago. Yeah. So, speaking
if I were an architect and my building was nominated to be a landmark and then they said no, my feelings would be hurt.
Well, that happened to Louis Sullivan. The Chicago Board and Trade Building did not survive.
Really?
It was supposed to be one of the inaugural 12. That's a fun fact. That did not make it. That didn't survive. That and there was another building that didn't survive, didn't make the top 12. To your point, if you were an architecture, on the flip side of that, 1957, the first building that was listed as a landmark or an honorary building was the Frank Lloyd Wright House in Hyde Park, or the Robey House. Fun fact for you there. But let's talk. I'm going to list off several landmarks, Chicago landmarks. Most of these everybody knows. And I'm just going to give some dates. It's pretty interesting. And when you think about it, I don't have them listed here, but there are districts, and we've talked about them on the podcast. There's districts in Chicago that are literally landmarks.
Right.
For example, Oakland is the smallest land community area.
Yeah.
But the majority of it is a landmark.
Yeah. What's that one street where
Astor.
The whole thing is landmark.
Yeah. So that's those crazy. I didn't list those because most of these we've talked about on the podcast.
Yeah, we talked about a ton of them.
Yeah, we didn't talk about all 382.
Right.
However, because 3 of them just became landmark this year, and I'll tell you about those later. Mm. But yeah, we talked about most of them, and I'm going to list off some pretty notable ones and some interesting facts about these, and I got about 12 of them here that I'm going to list off. So let's start with what are the first 3 actual landmarks?
Okay.
In Chicago. Here are the first 3 landmarks in Chicago. 1970, the first 3 buildings became landmark. Clark Ford House, of course.
Of course.
Chicago's quote unquote
oldest
one. If you go to Chicago.gov and the list there, it will list it as the oldest house in Chicago. It is not. Today.
Right.
It's
the oldest house built in Chicago.
Built in Chicago. It is not the oldest house in Chicago.
Yeah, the oldest house became part of Chicago after, like, it was annexation. Built pre-annexation, and then when it was annexed, it then became the oldest house.
And the Glessner House were the first actual 2 houses listed as landmarks. And guess what day?
What day?
October 14th, 1970.
Wow.
The day that the open house starts.
And one thing we learned this weekend is the Glessner House, the preservation of the Glessner House, is the whole reason why the Chicago Architecture Foundation started.
Yes.
Which is what the Chicago Architecture Center was known as.
Hell yeah. Also, sidebar, fun fact, today is the day of this recording, is October 8th. If you are listening to it on Monday, yesterday was the 152nd anniversary of the Chicago Fire, which I will talk about that in just a moment. Yeah. Also, the third building that was listed, the first three buildings that were listed as landmarks, the Carson Peary Scott Building, November 5th, 1970. Mm. Do you know which building that is? That is the Goth Target.
No way.
That was the third building to be landmarked in Chicago.
What is it officially called? The Carson? The
Carson Peary Scott Building.
Pierce.
Yeah. Carson Peary Scott.
Peary.
Yeah. You ain't never heard of Carson Peary Scott?
No, I haven't.
Oh, no. You're not from
of
here.
Of course I have.
No. Because they did go away by the time you
it's
got
Carson's,
here.
It's Carson's, the store, right?
Yeah, but it's Carson Peary Scott.
Yeah, but like.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I know I know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fast forward one year later, let's go. I got some pretty interesting ones here. 1971, the 6th through 12th. Here they are. The 6th site to be landmarked was the site of the Chicago Fire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was the site of the Chicago Fire. Guess what?
What?
Almost 100 years afterwards, September 15th, 1971.
Mm. is what happened?
It became landmark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it became landmark. And that location, if you're wondering, it is at West DeKalvon, West DeKalvon, and South Jefferson. So you can go there. Got a nice little statue, little monument sculpture there of the fire.
It is a cool sculpture.
And that is not the said location. Here's a fun fact for you. If you go inside of the firehouse, that is a very small little museum. Mm-hmm. It is also the training facility for firefighters. So if you want to learn, see how they do it, they have a whole facility and trucks that they can go there, that go there. And the actual site where they presume that the fire started is actually roped off down a hallway. Like the actual starting point. Fun. Go check it out. Also, the Great Fire of July, I believe, I forgot what year that was, but July 10th, my birthday, they have a whole monument of all the firefighters that died and all the firefighters that died in general throughout different things in history. So, pretty dope. What were you about to say?
That is really, I forgot.
Okay. 7th, Fort Dearborn.
Oh.
Fort Dearborn, Michigan and Wacker. 8th, the...
I actually just want to comment on that Fort Dearborn one because that's really cool. So obviously there's the statue on the bridge, mm-hmm. right? Like as you're crossing the bridge on Wacker, like the Wacker machine. But also if you're standing in front of London House, right? And you look on the ground, mm-hmm. it has markers on the ground that says Fort Dearborn. And then you cross the street to the other side where there's the corner of that street. It has them there too. And that four... corners of that street, it says that. And then if you look up at the London House, it says this is the site of Fort Dearborn, which I had never really looked at what it said on the London House.
Yes.
But that was really cool.
Yeah, it's super dope. Like to look up there and be like, damn.
I was like,
because you don't look.
Right. I've seen the one across the street on the bridge, but I'd never seen
that
one.
And we said this all the time.
Yeah.
Look up. Just like look up or down.
Yeah.
Like look up or down.
Or on the sides of buildings.
Chicago literally has shit. Yeah. Everywhere. If you follow our Instagram, we got some dope trivia this week, particularly.
There's some fun.
Oh my goodness, you're gonna love those. Number 8, the Herald Square Monument in the Loop, and that is a tribute is basically the financiers of the American Revolution. With monument three guys. One of them is George Washington on there. Number 9, Heller House. Number 9 and 10 are both in Hyde Park. Heller House and the Robey House. Heller House is 9 and Robey House is 10. Mm-hmm. The cool thing about the Heller House, which is right over there, you can kind of go check it out. Cool thing about that is if you are standing on the sidewalk, they still have the little sections where you would rope off your horse.
Wow.
Yeah, so you can actually see that right there. Really dope. Go check that out. Now, here's a cool one. Number 11, the Old Water Tower. Yes, the old water tower, y'all. You
the
hear
only,
me?
Isn't that the only?
Wait a minute. The old water tower, which is the one across the street
from the
tower one, right? The one that has Chicago Works on the building.
Right.
That one was listed as a monument in 71.
Landmark
in 71.
Is that the only building that survived the fire?
No, it's not. It is not. The reason why I bring that up and the reason why I'm saying nope. because it was amended. It is the one of two amended Chicago landmarks. It was amended in June of 1981 to include the actual Water Tower Place that everybody takes a picture of. So which also withstood the Chicago fire. Number 12 was the first self-sustaining nuclear chain reactor over in Hyde Park as well. So of the first 12, Southside is doing big things, y'all. Just want to let y'all know that. Now we continue. Here's one that's very fun. I just picked this one out because this one is really dope. And we walk by it every day. If you've been to the Taste of Chicago, Summertime Shy, they haven't turned it off yet. Buckingham Fountain was added to the Chicago landmark August 30th, 2000.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Did not know that. Yeah. And it just to round off the last few here in 2023, the most recent ones, the Greater Union Baptist Church, Promontory Point. Hey, oh,
wow.
Yeah, yeah. We've been posting pictures of that one. That was in April. Both of those are April 2023, April this year. The Epworth United Methodist Baptist Church in June of 2023. And the Warehouse are the last four, the latest four.
Is actually really, really cool because it is where it's presumed that house music started.
You know? And it should be. It should be a Chicago landmark.
Chicago invited.
So those are. Yeah, those are just some fun facts for you. We have a dope conversation.
We do.
That, yeah, we're going to play for you.
And we beep, have. Beep, 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 beep.
yeah. Let's get this open house weekend kicked off.
And let's get come back and talk about this food.
Yeah, for real. Let's get it.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Esposito. I'm the Senior Director of Learning and Community Engagement at the Chicago Architecture Center, which is really just a very long and fancy way of saying that I lead the youth and adult programs teams. Okay.
That's so fancy. That
yeah, so fancy.
Like yeah, right. Better than what it would you just
yeah. Okay, like, great.
Yeah. Yeah. How long you been doing that?
I have been with the organization coming up on 8 years, but involved with, you know, our Open House Chicago program and specifically our K-12 learning programs the entire time I've been here.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. So we'll get into OHC, but, like, give us a little background on on Chicago Architect Center. We've done a lot of work with them over the last 3 years, so it kind of like almost our full but existence.
I feel like I don't even know the history of the center. Yeah, right. Like, I don't...
Yeah. Oh, well... Well, are you ready?
Yeah.
Ready.
Ready.
How much time do we have? So we're formally known as the Chicago Architecture Foundation is how most people have known us because that's who we've been for, you know, over 50 years.
Yeah.
We moved to this location at 111 East Wacker in 2018 and opened up the center when we changed our name to the CAC, to the Chicago Architecture Center. And now we have kind of like a home base, a brick and mortar place to start your exploration of architecture. And if anybody knows anything about the city of Chicago, our skyline is yes. one of the things they yes. know the most, right?
Be best.
And I mean, we're biased.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, interestingly enough, we're kind of a unique cultural institution because you go outside to see our collection and you get to touch the artwork. Yeah. Like right. you get to right up close to our collection.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, which is kind of fun,
yeah,
right?
That it's is very fun. Yeah.
But we were founded in the 1960s to actually save Glessner House, which is on the near south side.
Yeah.
Yes. Of Chicago, yes. About 18th and Prairie 18th
yeah, right
in Indiana,
here.
Yeah.
Check the episode.
Yeah. and from there, just sort of evolved into tours. And you know, when I tell people what I do or where I work, the number one thing they ask me, "Do you lead the river cruise? Do you do the
yeah.
river cruise?"
That's what we ask.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. 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 I do not. I do not lead. We have wonderful docents who do that. But that is what we're most known for is our, you know, our docent-led walking tours and yeah. our river cruise with Chicago's First Lady.
Okay. Awesome.
That tour is so fun. We did it a couple years ago. My mom was in from out of town and we just went on there. And it's an hour and a half, but it literally goes by and it feels like it's been 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot imagine someone standing up there. They spoke for an hour and a half And it went, I was like,
yeah, I said, so and I'll stand on it. I think that's one of the best tours in Chicago. Like, if you are a tourist, you got to come see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, even if you're not a tourist, right, I feel like, because you don't know, I didn't know that if balconies have little wires, that means the building was used for something else converted, before. Yep. Yeah. I was like, that is, and now I look for it everywhere we go.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Well, it's so interesting, you know, to think about, like I said before, like, I'm kind of biased that we're the best, you know, river cruise, there, but there is space on the river for everybody. Yeah. But our docents, I mean, when you think about it, like, those are approximately their training that they go through equivalent to a college 400 course.
Yeah.
And they're doing it backwards. So your left is their right, you know, and it has to be timed with the boat. And it's just like, and you could take that river cruise every week all summer long and get a different experience every time, because it depends on what the docent wants to talk about or what they're interested in or what's happening.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it's just fast. I mean, again, I've taken that cruise. I can't tell you how many times. And
It never gets old.
No.
Yeah. And like, the people that lead the cruises are so dope.
Really cool.
I don't know if you remember our theater episode when we talked about Melbourne and Cats. And we interviewed one of your docents.
Okay.
And she also leads the theater tours in the city.
Robin.
And Robin.
Yeah.
And the knowledge that she has, like, she came with a booklet of information. Like, you gathered this? She's like, over years, yes.
Yeah. But
she was talking about the training process to become a docent, and she was like, it's intense. Like,
it is.
It's not just anyone can do it.
It's no joke, I mean, those are volunteers.
Yeah, right.
Those are volunteers committing that amount of time.
Yeah.
I call them paychecks of the heart. Like, they are really, you know, invested in.
I think we need probably more paychecks of the heart, like, because Chicago has a rep that people don't understand.
Yes.
And we know that it's not what the media and news and like everywhere else
for
will say, but
if
we had more of that, you know, to kind of tell the story.
Yeah.
Sense of civic pride. I think there are so many things that Chicago does really well to instill that sort of civic pride. I think our tours is one. I think the Chicago Marathon is another, you know. And of course, you know, our festival that we're going to be talking about today, I think those are all great kind of case studies in why our city is, you know, this living, breathing cultural mecca.
Yeah.
I love that. I think of open house as like the bow at the end of the year, but like leading up to that, what are some things that people can like do throughout the summer or even from January through May that involve the Architecture Center?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're in communities a lot. We understand that, you know, architecture doesn't just happen in the Loop.
It's in
our neighborhoods as well.
Yes.
And so we do a lot out in partnership with grassroots organizations and folks doing really interesting arts, history, science-based work. We have stuff for, you know, our K-12 audience. In February, we do our annual Engineering Fest, which is the second largest festival outside of Open House Chicago that we do. And we bring in groups of engineers and STEM professionals to work with young people, because architecture can't stand if there's not great engineering behind the facade, you know. You know, our summer camps in the summertime, our walking tours and boat tours, our lectures that we lead both online and in person, talking about things that matter in the city and things that, again, I say our architecture.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about the built environment and how decisions are made and how money gets appropriated. What is the work of an alderman and what is their job in the neighborhood? Because that all ties into a livable city.
Yeah.
That's architecture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's K-12.
K-12 and our adult programs as well.
Okay, I was about to say, open that up too.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of adults that meet.
Yes.
There.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, because that's that civic pride you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah. In January, actually, one of our end of January, early February, we're bringing this back for the second time this year, the Architecture and Design Film Festival.
Cool.
So think of like Cannes.
Yeah.
Okay, you were there last year? Okay.
Yeah.
Like
so
Cannes
cool.
for people who like design.
Yeah.
And it's really for anybody who's like, I kind of think architecture or design is cool, all the way to I am an architect, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And then there's panels and lectures and, you know, one-off things that happen around the same time, too.
We watched a film about sustainable fashion. It was
The Mother of Pearl one?
It blew my mind.
Yes.
There was so much stuff that I did not know.
The mushrooms, I was like...
Mushroom leather.
My mind was blown.
So cool.
Yeah, that was.
Like the difficulty of sourcing fabric that you know the origin, it's like either single
trace
origin
it way
or
back
like trace it all the way back.
Yes.
I was like, it cannot be that hard. Like, what do you mean? Yeah, it was.
I like that kind of stuff. I like that kind of like ancient, like history, but not ancient, but like stuff that is like so abstract and you didn't, how was it made? That old TV show, that was fantastic.
Yeah, yes.
You know? So to see that like from a mushroom, I'm like, and then that particular Mother of Pearl,
what they went through just to get that off the ground and get that. Yeah, it was incredible.
Cool. Yes, at some point in the film, you just become exhausted for her. Right. Yeah. You know, and frustrated for her.
You had to go to Peru. You had to go to all this. Like, man, just give her the love. You're giving it. She's looking for alpaca or something. Like, I'm like, man, just give it to her.
Yes, yeah. But those are important conversations. And, you know, that actually isn't, it's an architecture conversation, because when the built environment and the natural environment collide, mm-hmm. you know, our buildings have had to change in a, again, I say post-COVID, I do use the air quotes, of like healthy buildings and hybrid working and how do we help the planet? Right. And, you know, even as something as simple as special kind of glass on the windows so that birds don't fly into it and it's in migratory patterns. Like,
I just heard about that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's just so much that people don't always think about as architecture. And we talk about all those topics here. We're more than the river cruise, even though that is the thing that we're most known for.
So let's talk about Open House.
So it is
this coming weekend. I believe it's like the entire month of October you can explore, but the big weekend is coming up. This
14-15.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about how Open House started and
Yes. Well, we're in our 13th year. We're the lucky 13. We're now teenagers.
Yeah, right. Got some attitude.
We got a little bit of attitude. We think we're a real big deal now. But no, you're right. We're opening up our doors. If you've ever, whether you are local, we also get a lot of folks from, you know, suburban and collar counties, you know, Michigan, Iowa, Wisconsin, also international people come in. They plan, you know, trips to Chicago around Open House Chicago. If you've ever walked through your neighborhood or through the loop and you've pointed at a building and you're like, I wonder what that building is, or I wonder what goes on inside there, but it's never been a situation that's appropriate for you just to walk into the Board of Trade building, this is the weekend for them. So we have partnered with about 170 locations. We throw the doors open for the weekend, and it really is the city's free architecture festival to explore, you know, what's going on in your neighborhood, what's going on in another neighborhood, or what's going on here in the loop.
Yeah, I think that is incredibly important, because we've learned over the last 2.5 years doing this podcast, there's some people that are adults well into 40s and beyond that have never been inside the Sears Tower, the former Hancock building. I say Sears Tower, Willis Tower.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we get it. Yeah, right? Yeah. But, you know, there's people that haven't seen this. Yeah. And so, you know, we've been working with this OHC for the last 3 years, and it just, it's like one of the best things in the city. Go see it. Go see the stuff.
It's also other things that you might not think of. Like, you're walking down your neighborhood and there's a church you probably don't think is, you know, it's just a church. Anything. It's been there forever and you didn't think of its relevance. During that weekend, you like learn about historical importance. Right. You know, the, I mean, that was my whole point. It's like you learn about new buildings that you never thought were relevant during that weekend. We did sites in the neighborhoods, and then we did some in the loop, and it was, all of it was mind-blowing.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, my hope, and I think the team, the way that they've structured this year's OHC, which maybe has been slightly different than past years, is twofold. Number one, we really want to encourage you to go to a neighborhood you've never been to before and explore a part of the city that maybe you have either thought was not for you or you've just never thought about exploring before. So that's kind of action item number one when you plan an itinerary. Number two, in order to do that, we've intentionally clustered sites together. So you can take CTA, you can, you know, take ride share or park your car and then walk to get to the different sites within the specific neighborhood so that you're not spending all of your weekend shuffling about.
Trying to figure it out.
Right.
Yeah.
Paying for parking everywhere you go. You know?
So speaking of putting together an itinerary, let's talk about the app, because I think that's the coolest thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't want to be printing out pages of, you can. An app. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. Okay. So if anybody has ever done OHC before, especially if you did it last year, take what you know, what you think you know about the app, and throw it away. Because we basically did that with the app. We threw it away and started over. And our marketing team has done a phenomenal job with really working with an external media firm to, I mean, design this state-of-the-art app where you can plan, you know, your itinerary. You can, it attaches to Google Maps so that you can plan your walking routes. There's also some kind of what I would call like residual things on there where if like, let me pick a neighborhood. If you're in Lawndale, if you're in North Lawndale, and you're going to, you know, a church there, it'll recommend, like, there's a coffee shop within walking distance here. You should check this out before you go. Awesome. So it really is this sort of, you know, holistic, all-encompassing weekend that you are exploring, you know, the 77 flavors of our city.
Hey.
TM. So, I mean, I am, you can set your own, like I said, you can set your own itinerary. We're going to be working with some celebrity guest artists to create their own itinerary. Kind of like, I always liken it to like when Barack Obama does his bracket every year and releases
it. The music list, the book list.
Right. So we're going to be working with some local folks so that you can see like what do they find interesting and exciting. Right. You can share your itinerary with other people, you know. So I think it's just going to be, it's kind of like having a docent in your pocket.
Yes.
You know,
it's literally what it feels like. Yeah. And there's information about the sites in the app.
Yes.
Right. So like you can, you know, there's a little brief of what it is. And I love explore like a local, and that is probably my favorite thing. Not because we're doing it. But I really think it's cool because whenever I visit a city, I want to know what are the locals doing. And I think it's even important in specific neighborhoods, because like you might not be from that neighborhood or that community area, and you want to know where's the best place to eat, but you don't want to read 100 reviews. So explore like a local. You'll find Dario and I on there with our itinerary and our recommendations, and I just love that. And you know, we've been to our places, so this year I'm like, I want to see what other locals have recommended, and I want to go to their sites because it might just be something that's never crossed my mind.
And the app will even break down, like, you know, places that are more, you know, accessible for kids.
Right.
You know, are there restrooms on site? Are the lines going to be super long? Like, I'm a parent. I get it. Like, I don't want to wait in a line that wraps around the block.
Get in, get out.
You know.
And it's like categories, right? Like, you can do, like, all the, you can see all the churches. You can see, like, all the,
you can filter, of what you find important or what you think is of note.
Yeah.
But I'm just really, the app has just elevated the program. I'm excited to see.
It's October 2nd today at the time of this recording. The app just came out. So now you
So now it's Monday the 9th that you're saying this, you can actually download the app and pre-plan your weekend before.
You're ready.
Which,
by the way, this app is not just for this weekend. This app is it going to, I know the month of October is open house for Chicago, but this lives on, right? This lives on beyond, right?
So once Open House Chicago wraps, the app will just automatically switch over and start sharing all of the amazing things that we just talked about at the top of this, of other ways to get involved. There'll be information about the Architecture and Design Film Festival. There'll be things for kids that pop up. So again, you know, don't just look, well, HC's over. I can delete it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Any last thoughts or recommendations for people? What are your
What are your
It's like asking who's your favorite child.
I know. Like, we're never supposed to have one, but
everybody, you know,
everybody has one. You know, that's really hard. I won't share my sites, but because I need some little bit more time to think about it. Because actually, a lot of sites that we have this year are different than in years past. So we got some we got some new players in the game. I will say that some of my favorite neighborhoods, Chinatown, is one.
Treasure Trove.
Bronzeville is another. Hyde Park / Kenwood, great areas to see. I'm also excited to explore some of the, we're all 21 and older here, right? Like some of like the breweries and the, you know, on the north side and, you know, some of the more like social aspects of, you know, how we, you know, how we engage culturally and socially. So I think, again, there's just, there's something for literally something for everybody. And even if you're someone like, I don't know if this is you, but sometimes this is me, where I just am kind of like, eh, on people, you know, like sometimes you need to refill your cup alone. We actually have trails on the apps that you can put in your ears, and you can do a bike trail, you can walk, and you can just like do it on your own too. So if you're, if crowds aren't your thing, if you're, you know, concerned about health or whatever, and you want to do it on your own,
that is
amazing. That is so cool.
We love that over in Europe.
Yeah.
Because you can do that a lot there. And we were wondering if there's something here in Chicago that is like that.
Yes.
That is perfect.
Yeah.
That is perfect.
Yep.
Not that I want to be alone, but like sometimes you want to kind of go off the beaten path. You know what I mean? You want to create your own path. That's fantastic.
Yep. So there's bike trails, there's indigenous trails, there's all kinds of stuff on there. So download the app.
I am excited. You know what I'm excited for people to see, based on what we've seen over, you know, our journey? you know, there's Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. That, just learn the history. Yeah. If people can go out there and kind of just like learn that. Go to Bronze. If you've never been to Bronze, yeah. just walk anywhere.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, and you will, there's so much to see.
There's signs everywhere. There's stuff on the ground. There's stuff on the buildings, like little markers.
You know, and not to be biased, but you know what I mean? Like, I think the South Side and West Side doesn't get a lot of reps. You know what I mean? Like, so to kind of see what's out there, you will learn an enormous amount of history, you know, from those parts of towns, you know, because North Side is easy. We all know the North Side of downtown, but not saying you don't go there, but you can learn a lot.
But it's also like the reverse. A lot of people that live on the South and West Side have never been to the North Side or downtown. Absolutely. So like, it's also important to feel like you belong in these spaces and like come further up.
Up, because like there's some stuff here that's like, it blew my mind that people have never been inside Willis Tower, Sears Tower.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like, I don't want
like
to
promise. Or like they haven't been to Navy Pier in 30 years.
Right.
Yeah. And things have changed.
It's free. Like, you know, wouldn't you? Yeah.
And there's a lot of dope food in there. In these places. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hope that, you know, by the time people are done with Open House Chicago weekend, you know, that their takeaway is, whether you're local or you're not, that your mind has changed about your city. Mm-hmm. Because this is everybody's city, right? We're a city of mainly immigrants.
Yeah.
Actually, all immigrants. Oh, even our founder was a black Haitian immigrant. Yeah, you know, like, that's who we are.
Yeah.
And I hope that folks walk away with the idea of like, wow, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I learned something new. I have a new crease in my brain. I went to a neighborhood that I, you know, wouldn't have thought of otherwise, or I saw a building, or at the very least, I appreciate the built environment in a slightly different way than I did when I started. Yeah. That's the goal.
I love that.
That's the sound bite. Yeah, well, that's thank you so much. We appreciate
of course, thank
it.
You.
All right, we are back. With the food.
Yeah, buddy.
Hope you like that conversation.
Yeah, buddy.
I hope you're going to go out and check out some of these sites. There's so many.
Download the app.
170 some sites.
Yeah, 170 plus. Follow us. I mean, follow us. We'll be out on these streets. We'll be out on these streets this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, it's 2 days.
If we the king and queen of We On Your Block.
You know?
We pulling up.
Yeah, but today we went to a local favorite here, Zaza's Pizza.
Yeah, buddy.
And
we said, all this Chicago building talk got us feeling like New York pizza.
Well, it's, you know, it's in Chicago, so that's right.
You said it's in Chicago. Did you know a fun fact about them? I think they were just voted as the second best New York style pizza in all of Illinois. So shout out to them for doing big things. Yeah, I could be completely wrong about that, but they won some award or got recognized some way somehow.
So a little bit about the history of Zaza's Pizza. The chef owner really just started to love food at the age of 16, like super early on. Went to culinary school, worked in fine dining a bit in Naperville, and then decided
From the Ville?
Yeah.
From the Ville.
Wow.
I ain't never called it the Ville. Ever.
Ever. And, you know, he decided to start his own pizza, wanted to experiment with different flavors and different vibes. So come along, Zaza's Pizza 2021. That's, you know.
Pandemic.
They've been super popular since, but that's scary to, like, open a business in 2021. And shout out to their mom, because she is for real diehard.
Mama Zaza is an evangelist. Yeah. I promise you that.
she's super cool.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
Yeah. We did the pop in on them. We ain't even tell them we did.
Yeah, we didn't.
And then we kind of know them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like not telling people that we're.
Yeah, for real, that's the best. Just pull up.
I know, you know for real. So we stopped by. Obviously, you have the option. Now they have the option to dine in. Mm-hmm. So you can sit down and actually eat there, which they had it before, but it wasn't like how it is now.
Yeah, it's bussing in there.
Now it's packed.
Yeah, it's bussing in there now. Shit.
And the store is super fun on the inside. There's murals on the wall, art everywhere. They have Mike's Hot Honey on some of their pizzas. So there's like a neon Mike's Hot sign up there.
Yep.
It's pretty cool in there. There's some high top tables, some regular tables, and the pizza is made in front of you. So like you watch right, them.
You can watch them do it. Make the knead pizza. Knead the dough and flip it and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's pretty quick. So we got there. It was packed. There was no empty tables. We asked if we could sit down, and they said yes. It'll be like 15 minutes. I think like 7 minutes.
For real. Like it wasn't bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we decided to order the pizza from the by the slice instead of to ordering a full pie of like one flavor. We wanted to try a couple different things,
which I really like that option.
I really like it too.
I guess how many people are walking in and saying, "Let me just try this." You know what I mean? How many people doing it?
Right.
I mean, but if you want to, you can. That's the cool thing.
A lot of people were walking out with full pies.
For real.
You know.
What we started with, we didn't actually start with the pie. We started out with the cheese curds.
We did start out with cheese curds. Look, and those cheese curds are super good. We got a whole pound of them.
Yeah. And you could get half. You could get whole. You get
half. Yeah.
We and got they, the pound, I believe. Mm-hmm, yes.
They come with marinara and then like a garlic aioli type thing.
And that garlic sauce kind of took me by surprise. Yeah, it did. It took me by surprise. Because I was ready to write it off. I was like, nah, man, you know me.
Yeah, you're a garlic hater.
Yeah, no, that's not. I'm not a garlic hater.
No, you're just a marinara lover. Yes,
yeah, exactly. That's
so
exactly
by default, you become a garlic hater.
But the curds themselves, woo-wee. Y'all, hey, look, Zaza, all y'all over there, man, y'all need to lean into them cheese curds. Put that on the Instagram a little bit more.
Yeah, they were really good.
them cheese curds were smacking. I'm glad we got them. Man, look, I think one thing Chicagoans and don't want to admit is that we go to Wisconsin for them cheese curds.
I fuck up some Wisconsin cheese curds.
Man, Wisconsin cheese curds.
I'll even go to crazy. Kenosha for cheese.
You know what I'm saying? Hell yeah. Boy, look, little tiki bar up there.
Oh my God. Shit. No.
Going crazy.
No, no.
Going crazy. You know what? Yeah, no. You said, yeah, we had a wild experience. No. But it was.
Kenosha's wild.
It's wild as hell. But they got good ass food. But the cheese curds here, the point tangent. Yes. These cheese curds
were so good.
Man, look.
Yeah.
Man, boy, them and Culver's got some good ass cheese curds.
I've never had cheese curds. Hey. I've never had food from Culver's.
You never had food from Culver's. This is not about them. Let's continue talking about. Let's continue talking about.
Why did you look at me with such disgust?
Because that sounds like a ridiculous statement.
Because it's disgusting that you said that. That's
I thought you were about to say COVID is disgusting. I was about to be
no,
like,
no,
sorry,
I don't
Zaza.
Know. I've never.
Sorry, Zaza. We going to have to postpone this conversation.
I've never had them, so I can't speak.
No,
on
no,
it.
They nice. I don't care what nobody say. They nice, but Zaza, y'all going crazy. If y'all want cheese curds, honestly, just pull up there and say, hey, look, I want cheese curds because I can eat that.
Yeah.
And just had them at poppable style. Just keep on walking.
Poppable.
Yeah, they poppable. Mm. We pop them like you pop them because we go over red and baka.
Okay. Well, then we had slices of pizza. We
in
got
a pizza game. Yeah.
Three different slices. So the first one we got was
sausage.
The sausage. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's like little rounds of sausage. I don't know how to describe
it. I liked it a lot. They you know what? So you get the little, it looked like they had like the andouille type sausage. It's not andouille sausage,
but it's
that style of sausage, just literally just chopped up into little dollars, right? Not even dollar size, but like coin size. And
dollar size.
Yeah. They, you know, people know what I'm talking about. They was good. It was spicy. It was spicy.
And it was like a fennel.
Yeah,
it was really good.
It was good. Like that, honestly, for a basic, I feel like I got the basic ass sausage and pepperoni. Just, well, we didn't get pepperoni, but
we didn't get the basic.
We got the sausage just because you got to get some of the basic.
I would say I would like more sausage on there.
Yeah.
Because I liked it. I liked the sausage so much, I want more on there, is what I'm saying, you know?
You know, and I thought it was, you know, it's a slight agree and slight disagreement because I was like, yeah, I'm with it. I'm cool with the way it was. I really was. You know what it was? Why I think I'm cool with it? The flavor. It was the spiciness added like another. It gave me something else.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It gave me something else.
I feel like that was a theme for me, though, is like I liked the things on there a lot and I wanted more.
You wanted more.
I felt like there was a bit of like.
Which is the case with this next one.
Yes.
The pizza jam. I mean
the bacon jam.
Bacon jam.
So this one is red sauce, mozzarella, brown sugar, bacon, reduction, red onions, chili, cheese, and scallions, which I knew I was going to like this one, and I did.
Yeah.
But I wanted more of the bacon jam on there.
Where did bacon jam come from?
What do you mean?
Where I've never heard of bacon jam until this year.
What?
For real. I've never heard of bacon jam. That shit is brand new. What is bacon jam? Like, I mean, I know what it is now, but like, Where did it come from? Did it just, is that like a new post-pandemic thing?
No, it's not.
People just been creating that. It was like, yo, we got Bacon Jam now.
Mm-hmm. Nope, it's not new.
This how long has it been around?
Let's see, who's the first person. Talk about some dumb shit for talk a minute. About some dumb
shit. Let's talk about this Bacon Jam. All right, I'll tell you about the Bacon Jam, y'all. This is my second time in life having Bacon Jam. And wow. And if y'all are back there being like, oh my God, this dude, he is ridiculous. You ain't never had it either. Stop playing. Wow. But for real, it was good though. It was very good for my second time around.
So it looks like in 2015, Martin and Susie Cowley of Wales claimed to have invented Bacon Jam. However, Chef Mike Orzechowski stated they started making Bacon Jam in 2013.
So this shit is new. I told you.
That is 11 years ago, sir.
That's new. That's new.
Are you joking?
The 90s is old now.
Yeah. No, the 90s is like vintage. That's,
that's depressing. Yeah, that's all. But like 2016, I'm going with the other person.
Yeah, but you just had it today.
And?
Is what, like,
I bet you most people.
A decade before you had.
But most places you go don't have Bacon Jam is what I'm saying.
Yeah, sure. Most places you go also don't have a lot of things. What do you mean? It's like.
What do you mean what I mean? I mean what I'm saying.
I literally can't stand it. But also, moving forward, start looking on menus and start looking for Bacon Jam.
Okay, I will. Actually, that's a good challenge. Because, I'm going
to
do that,
y'all. Because of your basic ass palate, wow, when we do go to places, you order the same shit that you know you're going to like. You never venture out.
If Bacon Jam is on, I ain't never seen Bacon Jam be like, what is that? Skip. I've never done that. Nobody's ever. It's not on.
No, but how are you going to say nobody's ever done that when you don't know that?
Because.
I hate these generalized, broad ass statements.
How many people out there, if y'all listening in the car, wherever you at, you know, how many people have seen Bacon Jam and been like, oh man, I just don't want it today? And you seen it on the menu?
I've seen it a ton.
No, you where
a
at?
A ton.
Name three places besides the one.
Zaza's.
Besides it, look, besides that one.
Bacon Jam's everywhere.
No, it ain't.
Yes, it is.
They don't even Bacon Jam. If they sold Bacon Jam in a jar, I'd get it. Because
they
Jam
do. Good.
Where at?
Also, I've made Bacon Jam
you
in
ain't
the it. House.
What? No.
Yes.
Just because we had bacon and jelly together.
No, that's not what we bacon had that, jam is.
That bacon and jam, that bacon was a jam.
You know that like, you know that jam isn't like, there's no like fruit preserve added to bacon to make it a bacon jam.
It's just, what is it then? Just jam, preservatives?
No. To make jam is like a pro, like the process is called, like something becomes jammy. You know what I mean? It's not like,
no.
It's not like,
no, I'm not going.
It's like a jelly. Jelly doesn't mean just like a fruit.
Jelly and jam ain't the same thing.
I know they're not the same thing, Dario.
Come on. Don't use my government name. They don't need to know my name like that.
Anyway.
I don't need nobody from pulling up on the street talking about, what up, Dario? Hey, hold on. Y'all don't know me. It's 77.
The next slice that we, again, yeah, like I said.
Sounds like y'all causing trouble in the house.
Trouble.
over Bacon Jam.
Anyway, I wanted more Bacon Jam, and I wanted more red onions on mine.
And I thought it was enough.
That's why I thought it was enough for people, and you get two different opinions.
Hey, that's good. Compare and contrast.
This next one is probably my favorite, which is the Mike's Hot Pepperoni Pie. And it is red sauce, mozzarella, cup and char.
Network kick your ass.
Mike's Two hot honey, shaved parmesan ricotta, and green basil.
Green basil.
I don't like Gotham it. Greens basil.
Gotham Greens. What? Glory.
No, it's not glory.
Is Gotham Greens the white people version of Glory Greens? Because black people got Glory Greens. I ain't never heard of Gotham Greens.
Stop it. Gotham Greens is an urban farm.
No, it ain't.
What, yes, it is.
What is it?
Yes.
Okay, I rock with it. We got Gotham and Glory. That's two You've different spectrums.
We actually have their butter lettuce in our fridge right now.
You know I don't look in that refrigerator.
I know you don't.
If you had said which one of these is in the refrigerator, I would have pointed to the middle and just be like,
this
shoot
one?
Me now.
Yeah.
Take so me out.
They actually have farms in New York, Illinois, Rhode Island, Maryland, Colorado, California, and Virginia.
Damn, really?
Yeah.
Them bad boys slapped then.
They do.
Go crazy. Y'all should, Zaza, try Glory Greens. try Glory Greens on there.
Just collard greens on pizza.
Boy, you will have the whole everybody.
make a Thanksgiving pizza.
For real.
With turkey and cranberry jam.
And they're singing Amazing Grace before you know it.
Anyway.
Praying for 20
this
minutes
one was probably my favorite. It had the right amount of pepperoni on there, which is all of it with pepperoni. And then I love the cheese. And the basil, the big leaves of basil.
Now, here's what I was going to say. Here's what I would say. The hot honey wasn't as hot honey as you might think.
Well, and I would say, Daria, what is hot honey?
We've had it before. That's what I'm saying. I've had this. It's spicy. It's got a little zest it's sweet.
A little, yeah.
This didn't, though.
This is more honey than hot.
Right.
And that's I disagree.
No, how could you? When we had the sausage, and the sausage was notably hotter.
Two different kinds of spicy, though. They're but not the same.
But if it's called hot honey, I need a little bit of heat.
I had a little bit of heat.
No, it didn't. It did
well,
not.
Well, I think the you rest of the pie.
You had residual.
I think the rest of the pie kind of like muted the heat a little bit because you're eating like bread and tomato sauce and cheese.
Yeah.
Don't forget, like the cheese that's on there.
Is mozzarella? Is that thick ass mozzarella?
It's not thick ass mozzarella.
They can't something shit. Something, it was an ice cream scoop.
Ricotta.
Okay. Yeah, it was.
So that like probably took away from the heat a little
but
bit.
But I didn't have that on mine.
You had a little bit.
Very little bit.
All right. Well, you would have liked it to be more spicy.
Yes.
I think it was good. It was a good amount of spicy for
so
me.
So we just disagree on everything except for the curds.
Uh-huh.
This episode. Damn, yeah. That's crazy, y'all. I mean, normally
we're not disagreeing.
We're not disagreeing. We're not saying it's bad at all. You know what I mean? Like, it's
no
just,
one said it's bad.
Right.
We're talking about like the little details.
The little details. I'm more right.
You know
than
when something is wow, that's false. You know when something is good, you just have to like find something that's
yeah,
like, yeah. Right. But
2 years in, I'm. Hey, look, y'all. I'm about to say some wild shit. Then we get out of here.
I'm the closer. No, so.
Yeah, you definitely gonna want to close out after I say this. I'm the better food critic.
Don't listen to that. First of all, neither one of us is a food critic.
That's true. But
we just be talking about the food we ate.
That right.
And it's
that's
our
true.
Opinion.
That right. That is. Yeah. First of all,
we're not food critics.
No, we not. No, because I ain't. Look, I'm not critical of no food that keep me alive.
Wow.
Shit. You know what I'm saying?
You do be eating for sustenance.
Hey, at the end of the day.
That's disgusting.
No, no, no.
I don't know. That's like your major red flag.
That's not a red flag. You got to eat to live, not to live to eat. You got to eat to live.
That is such a red flag.
How is that a red flag? For what?
That you like don't find joy in food.
No, I didn't say that. I did not say that. I do find joy. I be singing all the time and dancing.
You'd be like,
when the food be hitting, I was, by the way, y'all, they got good music.
Oh, yeah, inside. They
so, so they make you dance while you eating food.
That's fact.
So yes, I do enjoy my food.
You do. Now,
what you mean? I enjoyed it back then. It's just that other shit that I don't like. I don't like. You know.
Anyway, if you did like this episode, please go ahead and send it to someone you love. We are not food critics. Do not come for us. This is just our opinion and our opinion only.
That is a fact.
If you did not like this episode. And you continue to be here week after week, I suggest therapy or like a medical professional of some sort.
Yeah.
Or like talk to Jesus or your mom or any God you believe in. Because why are you here still?
For real. Hey, y'all, if y'all want to know, Sarah's starting to cuss people out on the podcast, on the video.
On the video. So, so catch us over on YouTube so I can cuss you out to your face.
Just cussing people out, y'all. This is crazy.
Fuck y'all. Hey, thank you so much for listening. We really hope you enjoyed that. Please follow us on all social media at 77 Flavors Shy. And if you have any ideas and things you want to learn about, please email us at media@77flavorsshy.com.
Yeah, and if you could also head on over to our YouTube channel, same thing, 77 Flavors Shy, and give us a follow, give us a like, and give us a good rating there. Make some comments.
Only
go ahead and subscribe.
Like,
we love y'all. See you next week.